been today as you always are. This morning I'm going to be beginning a new sermon series that will last probably close to Christmas. And it's a series entitled Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts. And you may be wondering, well, where are we going with this? Well, we're going to look at a couple of passages in a moment that will kind of get us started on the right path. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to start with. And you can go ahead and find those and look there with me. I know that your notes this morning are pretty extensive. And so let me make a suggestion. You do whatever you're comfortable with as far as taking notes. But sometimes it's better just to listen and then hang on to the notes and go back at some time and refresh it while you've got it on your mind. But whatever you choose to do will be fine. When I was doing my outline, I got tired of reading it myself. Not tired of the content, but just thought, my goodness, they're going to think we're going to be here till tomorrow or the next day looking at these wonderful passages. Unwrapping your spiritual gifts. I want to share with us this morning just some thoughts, and I hope that the imagery of unwrapping gifts is fresh in your own mind. Christmas will be upcoming soon. How many of you remember, whether it's 10 years or 20 years or 30 years ago or more, a special Christmas, and you remember what was under the tree that year? Just slip your head in. Anybody got a single gift comes to mind? I remember when my parents put under the tree, Santa Claus, put underneath our tree a Sears Hawthorne bicycle. And I'll tell you what, it didn't have any training wheels because I didn't need any training wheels then. And I remember my first 22 single-shot rifle that we got for Christmas. I could go on and on because those gifts were always special and unwrapping them was a special part of Christmas. But I've got good news for you. As a child of the living Lord, you and I are gifted in ways that maybe we're not even aware of. And the Lord wants us to unwrap those spiritual gifts and be blessed as we use them for His honor and for His glory. And so this morning, follow along with me as I begin reading. First of all, in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. And then we're going to look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, or the same responsibility. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth or encourages on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Now there are the diversities or the varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, but there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every believer, to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another verse 10, working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the same, the one of the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. The background for any study on spiritual gifts ought to be sure to include the fact that the reason that Paul wrote so extensively to the church at Rome and the church at Corinth was because in the church, this idea of spiritual gifts was a new idea. And the early church had to get a hold of the fact that when believers are saved, God gives us, by the way, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the heart of the believer at the point of conversion. But then the Holy Spirit gives every believer spiritual gifts, a gift or multiple gifts. And during the next few weeks, I want us to look at how these gifts operate, what their function is, what their purpose is, how we can know what they are, how we can learn to appropriate them in our lives. In fact, I made a note in the introduction of your notes. We want to know in the next few weeks what the spiritual gifts are. They're about anywhere. Well, there are some authors will give list as many as 20, some as few as 14. Secondly, we want you to discover what spiritual gifts you possess. I believe that there is a survey that Lifeway has, or used to have years ago, where you could take a survey at home in the privacy of your home, and it'll help you discover if you're not already sure what your spiritual gift is. Thirdly, I'd like for us to understand how our spiritual gifts can be used to strengthen the church, bless others, and be a source of fulfillment to you. And fourthly, we want you to decide to use your spiritual gifts in the service of the Lord. Now, you may want to ask yourself the question, why would a study on spiritual gifts be significant, be relevant, be important? And I want to share a couple of thoughts with you about why this study is important. By the way, if your study guide that you have in your bulletin is a little different than the message itself, that's all right, because my outlines, I really gave the office about three different outlines to use, and they're all pretty extensive. But if it's not just the same, it's all right. Why is this study important? First of all, because of the necessary power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's important that we understand the power, the fact the Greek word for power is often the word dunamis. Can anybody guess where the word dunamis not only comes from, but where we get our significant word from the word dunamis? Where that might be used?
Dynamite.
What was that character years ago who had his own TV show?
JJ.
Oh, JJ knew what dynamite was all for. Dynamite. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit is the believer's dynamite, explosive, beyond physical understanding power, and the necessity of understanding what that power is. Jesus said on one occasion, without me, you can do nothing. And the Bible wants us to understand as believers, God has given us power to be and to do everything God wants us to be and do. And that's the power that comes from the anointing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual gifts that God's given us. I don't recall, as I was growing up, ever hearing a series of messages or any messages on spiritual giftedness. I don't remember many of those as I became an adult. But I remember about 20 years ago, as I was pastoring, I was introduced to this idea. And I think Adrian Rogers had said in a sermon somewhere that used the term unwrapping your spiritual gifts, and the light came on in my own heart. I thought, this is something I'd like to look into. And so it's a study that has blessed me for a long, long time, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Why is it important? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's absolutely necessary in our lives. And secondly, it's because so much of what God's Word teaches is perverted by the world in which we live. Let me have your attention just for a moment. Of course, you're so good to listen and so gracious and kind. But I want to say to you, I am amazed at the perversion that comes out of this world when it comes to the Word of God. I watched a TV the other day, a TV advertisement, if you will. And it was for a booklet. And you order it, and they'll send you a little booklet on why, as you take the Lord's Supper, communion, you'll have the all and power, anointing of God upon your life. And God will provide every need that you have, and there'll be a miracle of healing through what you eat. And I thought, mercy sakes alive, if I got a miracle because of what I ate, I'd be a I'd be a blessed man, sure enough. And I am blessed, but I want to tell you, don't swallow everything you hear on just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's... In fact, I told Libby, I was sitting there one night, and this commercial came on. I thought, how can a reasonable thinking person think that the communion, the Lord's Supper, that sacred meal, can be used to promote somebody profiting in the kingdom's work? But anyway, the Lord, the message about spiritual gifts is important because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's necessary and the perversion of biblical truth. I don't guess we'll ever get used to it. But we're living in a culture that mocks the truth of the Word of God. Folks, if there's ever been a time we need to stand on God's truth, we ought to stand on it now because the world's not going to make it easy for us. Why is this study important? Because of the practical nature of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the analogy of the hands and the feet say to each other, this is the way we're going to go. And the truth is, the hands and feet need to cooperate in what they're doing because they're a part of the body. The truth is, spiritual gifts are given to be practical and help us to go down the road. In fact, Adrian Rogers said, spiritual gifts are not to get us to toot our own horn, but to get us down the track. The truth is, God gives us spiritual gifts in order to honor Him and glorify Him and accomplish His work. Amen. And then spiritual gifts are purposeful. In 1 Peter 4:10, purposeful. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the grace of God. In Ephesians 4:8, the Bible says, when Jesus ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Jesus ascended to glory, part of His eternal plan for the church was, as people are born into the body of Christ, that they be endowed with spiritual gifts for the work of the kingdom. And what I'm praying is, we won't leave our spiritual gifts under the Christmas tree this year. We'll discover what that gift is, cultivate that gift, use it, understand it, and surrender it to the Lordship of Christ. Let me give you some definitions of spiritual gifts. And there are more that we could use, but I want to share these with you. First of all, somebody said a spiritual gift is a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. Whatever your area of strength is, whatever your ministry areas are, the Holy Spirit is designed to help you to become more effective in the ministering of that gift and the serving of that gift. And it's a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. No matter how gifted we are, no matter how experienced we may be, we can do nothing without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit anointing us for service and ministry. A spiritual gift is a divinely given capacity to edify, to encourage, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry and to enlarge the kingdom. And spiritual gifts, here's the quote by Dr. Rogers. Spiritual gifts are not toys, but tools. Not for enjoyment, but for your employment. Dr. Adrian Rogers. He was a master at using phrases to capture great, great truth. Spiritual, supernatural gifts of God. In fact, what's the nature of a spiritual gift? It's beyond the human, beyond normal talent, beyond expertise. It is a supernatural anointing of God and gift by God. 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, that word is pneumatikon, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. The problem at the church at Corinth was multiple. The problem was there were folks that were magnifying their gifts above the other people's gifts and losing all the relevance of spiritual gifts at all. And so any study of spiritual gifts is to be reminded that God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Spiritual gifts are spiritual, supernatural. Within us, now think about this, within us is a power that the science can't recognize, and there's a power that the world can't understand. There's a power the world can't duplicate. It is the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants you to understand that's where spiritual gifts are from. Spiritual gifts are spiritual/supernatural. And they're service gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Every man is given his gift by the Spirit that he may use it for the common good. Or another translation says to profit with all. Again, not to get us to blow our own horns, but to get us on down the track. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are these spiritual gifts? What's the nature of them? They're spiritual. They're God, and they're service gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts to serve him more effectively for his honor and for his glory as good stewards. They're sovereign. They're given by God. They're not bestowed on the basis of our talent or insight or our wisdom, but they're sovereign gifts divinely bestowed by God. By the way, most people don't realize when they're first saved all the things that God does. I didn't realize when I was first saved as a young man that God had placed within me the person of the Holy Spirit as the indwelling presence of God in my life, and he has done that for every believer. And then the salvation gifts for 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. During our study, we're going to look at the filling of the Spirit. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to look at, there's a difference in the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit refers to the 9 character qualities mentioned in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And as you abide in Christ, you'll bring forth fruit. And that's the fruit that'll be born. A spiritual gift is not a ministry role. Because you're a Sunday school teacher doesn't mean you've got the spiritual gift. That you may have it, the spiritual gift of teaching. But those two things are separate. It's a wonderful thing when your place of service coincides with the nature of your ministry gift. The spiritual gift is not a ministry role. And I made myself a note. There's no such thing as the gift of youth work, for example. Now we need that. That's a great ministry. But that's not the same as a spiritual gift. Or maybe the gift of writing Christian music. That was a wonderful gift. And I think about Bill Gaither, how he's impacted our whole world with his gift of writing music. But it's different from a spiritual gift. And then the diversity of spiritual gifts, they're all very different. I want to mention to you just 3 areas. They're the motivational serving gifts in Romans 12, prophecy, ministry/service, teaching, exhortation/encouragement, giving, leadership, administration, and mercy. These are called by most scholars, most theologians, ministry or serving gifts. And the bottom line is they lead somebody to delight in serving others for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Then those are the motivational serving gifts. Then they're the ministry servant gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The most effective pastors, the most effective teachers, the most effective leaders are those who do so out of an overflow of the Spirit of God living within them and the anointing of the gift of the Spirit of whatever it is that God's given them to do. And then the manifestation sign gifts. We'll get to these in a few weeks, but they include in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Stay with us. We're going to be looking at all of these together in the weeks ahead and asking the questions, what were these gifts then? Are these gifts in operation now? If so, how can we know it's from God? If not, why not? The purpose of the spiritual gifts is to enable us to effectively serve the body of Christ. I put down three words in my notes to remind me of the purpose of the spiritual gifts. First of all, there's the importance of the cooperation in the body of Christ. Cooperation. The church of Corinth is fussing and fighting over everything. There are people that weren't invited to the Lord's table because they didn't feel like they were worthy. There were a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. And Paul said the spiritual gift's goal is that the body has many members will serve out of one driving goal, is to honor and glorify Christ. There's the purpose of coordination. Talked about the foot and the hand a while ago and the eyes. All those things are so important. And those body parts function together to bring light to the soul. And then lastly, there's compassion. It's important because the church at Corinth was marked by rivalry, by division. And Paul challenges them to minister to one another and do it out of a spirit of love. Now stay with me. We're almost done. The Holy Spirit's product of His ministry is a life transformed by the power of God, a life equipped for the glory of God, and a life given power to accomplish the will of God. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you and shall anoint you. That dunamis will be God's authority, God's power in your life. I'm praying that God will cause us to be hungry for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, a fresh empowerment to accomplish the work of ministry, a special sense of oneness in the family of faith that will cause us to leave here on Sundays, leave here on Wednesdays, to make a difference in our world. May the study of the spiritual gifts not just be a study where we learn facts, but where we go home determined be different for the glory of God because of the Spirit that He's placed within us. Tonight, in the evening service, I'll share 7 or 8 principles about how somebody can understand and discover and employ and enjoy the utilization of their spiritual gift. God, use us for your glory, use us for your honor, use us for your purposes. Let's bow together.